What is going on, man? It's your boy, Crimson. So, I came across this video. Been trying to find it, and I'm kind of glad. It just came across this morning, and I was trying to fucking find it in my history, and I kept skipping over it. But, like I said before, there's this guy who goes by Psych Shortcuts. And he addressed what loyalty means to a man and what loyalty means to a woman. Men see the way that a man sees a job as, you know, looking for the bigger, better deal is the same way that a woman sees a relationship. Right? And, you know, there's a bunch of red flags that you can spot for that. But I need this guy, I need these guys to talk about it first. So let's get into it.
I heard a metaphor once that it's like guys are fall in love like a train, and once it gets going, it's incredibly hard to stop.
Sure.
Well, men love idealistically, women love opportunistically. So It's like women marry a man, they marry a lifestyle. So they're looking for the guy who can provide that lifestyle, and if they fall in love with that guy later on, then so much the better.
Does anybody disagree with that?
Guys fall in love because it's like they think love should matter for love's sake, and it would be great. I mean, it's not unconditional, but it's the idea that they.
I don't know if you see it, but the girl at the bottom right with the yellow cord microphone in front of her. She keeps swaying left and right. She keeps fucking moving around. And she keeps wanting to interject and say shit. Like, there's like a discomfort there. The girl in the center is looking down because, you know, she's either looking at her phone or she's ashamed.
Not dependent upon their performance, right? So that's why we have the marriage vows, you know. In sickness and in health, rich or poor, until death do us part, forsaking all others. If you look at the traditional marriage vows, that's a contract, man. That's a compromise between two mating strategies right there, which is like, I know you're looking for a guy who's bigger and better than me, but like, we're going to make this promise here that I'm going to stick with you, you're going to stick with me, we're going to have babies together, and we're going to be invested in this family. And so this is a formalization of that compromise between the two of them. Men love idealistically, women love opportunistically, women will not allow themselves to emotionally invest in a guy unless there's some criteria met. He's got to meet these.
Why do you think that is, Rolo? Why do you think girls do that, Rolo?
Well, because you're interested in long-term security. You have to, because again, your sexuality is a depreciating asset, but also you're the vulnerable sex. So there's a higher cost for reproductive cost for you. So you will, like, for if you think about this, I always talk about like 18 to 28 is the quote unquote hoe phase, right? The party. I said it nicely, right? It's the hoe phase, 18 to 28.
The exploration phase. Yes. Women call it the hoe phase. Yeah.
So,
I'm not calling it.
So 29 to 31, 32, right about there. That's what I call the epiphany phase. That's when I go, okay, I got to cash out of the sexual marketplace right now. The lights are coming on at the club. I better find a guy to go the distance with. But if you think about, like, women have that 10-year span between 18 and 28 years old, the rest of their lives as a depreciating asset as far as the sexual market value is concerned, not personal worth, sexual market value. Women need that insurance. They need emotional insurance. They need financial insurance. There's a lot of things that women need for their long-term security. We teach women today to go get it themselves, right? Go get a college degree. Go get your business together. Get the bag, whatever it is that you got to go on OnlyFans, whatever. Get all of that stuff for yourself because you can't trust guys to do that. And by and large right now, I can understand why. But there was the idea of you have 10 years to sort of like this 10-year window in a lifespan that's going to be like, 90 years or so? So the next, you know, going on until you die of old age or whatever, you know, idealistically, you need more in terms of long-term security than you have 10 years to acquire that and consolidate on that long-term security. That's why.
So from an evolutionary standpoint, when a man and a woman have children together, the unconditional love from the woman is reserved for
the kids.
The kids.
Yeah, she will always choose her kids.
Okay, so you guys understand that, right? That is a feature.
My babies come first.
That is a feature. Always. That is a feature, not a bug of evolutionary psychology. If it wasn't that way, when we were going through different survival scenarios throughout our anthropological record, we would have serious issues. Like if women were consistently choosing the man over the child, we would have extinct. We would have, it would have been the Neanderthals would be sitting here now, not us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what would happen. So that means conditional love is reserved for the husband. And this is, a lot of women find this very offensive when I say this, but the reality of the situation is love for a man is conditional. It is. There are things that women will, he'll lose his job, he'll get overweight, these weird things will happen, and she'll always say, we grew apart. Mm-hmm. You didn't grow so apart. Deep. What happened is he did not maintain mm-hmm. his end of the bargain, and so because of that, he got out. That again, 78%, it's not men leaving women. It is 78% of divorces are initiated by women. And once a man is divorced and he's in his 40s or 50s, he's 9 times as likely to commit suicide. That's essentially what happens, which is where we get to this ultimate problem and why Sapphire is, or the Rhino or CH3 is packed every night because of that phenomenon.
All right, there's a lot to unpack in there. So let's address Rollo's point, which was Rollo's point is that women see things as an opportunity. Now, this goes for the 80-20 rule, right? 80% of women are going after, you know, 20% of the world's populace when it comes to men. Now, here's the thing. Let's go back to the panel. Look at the way they're fucking, look at the way those chicks are dressed. Fucking 4 out of the 5 chicks are dressed with their tits hanging out. Right? And one of them is dressed like a high school kid. And the men are dressed very simply. You know, maybe not Rollo, because he's desperately trying to fucking hang on to his rock star visage. But, this is what I see all the time. When I go out to the fucking bars, when I go out, you know, to the clubs, you know, when I go out. But typically, that's the type of mentality that you're going to come across when you go to those locations. Those chicks are fucking going out looking for dudes that are spending money, right? That are looking to gain attraction. And there's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of dudes that like to flex shit that they don't have. Just the other night, I was fucking buying some chips and really gross chips, by the way. Doritos barbecue are fucking disgusting. But this guy, I overheard him say that he got a fucking platinum card. And these guys were like, yo, you got your fucking platinum card? Like, how'd you get that? And he's like, I don't have any credit. So I thought I'd get a credit card, you know, so we can go out tonight. We could spend it, you know, spend some money, and then I'll just pay it back later. And me and the fucking guy over the counter, we just looked at each other like, you know, that's a fucking dumb idea. Can't tell you how many times I fucking try to pay that fucker off, and there's a fee that's attached every single time for not spending money and then overspending money. And it's real easy to go over. And then the fucking deadlines, they change. They go from, all right, you got 13 days to pay it off, and then you pay it off, and all of a sudden you paid it off too soon, and so you get another fucking fee and another fee, and it became a fucking nightmare. So, any case, this guy's telling his buddies, like, hey, yo, I got a fucking card. We get to go out and spend all this money, yada, yada, whoop-de-woo, la-de-la. So I buy the chips, and then I forget I need to get a fucking drink. You know, I wanted to get some electrolytes in my system because it's about to be summer, and I don't want to fucking get caught out, you know, lacking pretty much. So the guys pay their shit. I'm at the end of the line, and then these gorgeous girls come in, and I decided to get some death water, so I fucking jump out of line, jump back in, and those girls are, like, basically buying some blunt rolls. And the guys are trying to flirt with them, they're trying to do their thing, and then the guys walk out, and the girls in line were clowning on them. And she was like, you see how the one of the girls says, "You see how he tried to act like he was so fucking, like he was so, what'd she say? Something about like being flossed, basically like trying to look clean." And she goes, "Ooh, girl, you see that fake ass chain that he had on?" And I mean, they were just fucking ripping these guys apart. They fucking could smell inauthenticity in those men. And so, what I see in the panel of these women is women that are relying on their sex appeal, their fame and fortune off of OnlyFans and Instagram and all this other shit to basically pay for their, you know, get a man that's valued enough to pay for their lifestyle. And the only place that they know where to fucking go to get those guys is at the clubs, you know, where guys spend money, pretty much. Where guys go to get away from, you know, society and problems and shit. But the thing is like, that's a huge red flag for me, because, dude, if you're in your fucking early 30s and you're still going to the bars and the clubs and shit, I mean, I could understand if you're going to a fucking show. But if you're trying to pick up at a fucking bar and at a show, like I mentioned before in my last video, a lot of narcissistic people like to fucking hang out at those areas and locations because of the attraction, right? They love to hang out at those locations because there is a narcissistic supply at those locations. Fuck, my ex is a huge fucking example of that. You know what? I don't want to use her anymore. I'm sick and tired of fucking using her. My aunt, right? My aunt is in her 60s, still going to bars. She doesn't drink. And she still goes to the bars trying to pick up on young fucking dick. It's kind of gross, right? She's still trying to fucking, like, party like she's in her fucking 20s. And the thing is, I see this shit all the time. These older women, or these women, are trying to fucking get a bigger and better deal. Why? Because they've got nothing going on for themselves. They got nothing to offer. They got nothing that they want to self-reflect or change or fix. They want to donate zero of their time. They just want to be a part of a clique that never grows old. Because to grow old is to admit defeat. To grow old is to wither away and die. To never make a mark on society. That's what they're afraid of. I mean, realistically, that's all that it is. Every chick that I've ever seen that's on OnlyFans or, you know, whatever the fuck, they're just trying to fucking stay relevant. What was it? Patrice O'Neal said it best. It's like you picture a movie in your head that's only starring you. And that's every chick. And he did a stand-up one day. It was called Elephant in the Room. And there was a deleted scene where a chick in the audience, he's giving her shit. And he's like, "Look at this chick. Like, she's just fucking dead. Like, she's not smiling. She's not laughing." And he tells the guy next to her, "You know, who the fuck, like, why the fuck would you stay? Like, you know how easy it would be to get rid of her as a friend? I would fucking throw away my watch and say, like, no, you stole from me, bitch." Like, and then she said something to the effect of, like, the reason why she wasn't laughing was, like, she's like, "Well, you have to make me laugh." And he started fucking making fun of her because he's like, the fact that you're at a comedy show and laughter is one of the most contagious feelings should help you, you know, dead on the inside. And I started laughing because it's true. People that are dead on the inside don't fucking, they don't reflect off of anybody else's energy or emotions other than themselves. And you could see that in this panel. while Rollo was talking and making his point, these girls were fidgeting, fucking with their hair, just doing something else, you know, fucking talking to other people, going on their phone, because they don't give a fuck. They're only there for the alpha male, the potential alpha male that you know, might be watching this. They might reach out. It's all it is to them. It's just an opportunity to fucking, you know, advertise, to just be there as a billboard, right? Now, these types of women are easy to spot. They always ask you, what do you do for a living? The moment that comes out of their fucking mouth, they've rehearsed that line over and over again. You know, they know what to, when they know what to hear, they know what to look for. Those are the types of people you want to fucking get the fuck away from. You know, I can't tell you how many times I hear that fucking line every time I go to a bar and I meet a chick. You know, what do you do for a living? I think the only time that I've actually ever had a genuine conversation was when I went to that metal show. Had great conversations with people. I mean, except for the strippers that were there and the fucking weird-ass chicks. And, you know, it goes on and on. But my point is that those women are their only fucking goal is money orientated, and you have to hear those questions. What are your plans for the future? You know, that's another one. Like, what do you have invested? That's another one. You know, how many businesses do you have is an obvious one, and they'll try to dart around that. In other words, this is going to be hard for some of you, because a lot of you don't fucking see things that way. A lot of you like to hear things about, like, pleasantness that has to deal with donating time to, I don't know, society, doing a hobby, fucking having an interest outside of just fucking work. These women are business oriented in terms of what they can extract. So all of their questions are going to be orientated in terms of how much money you're making. Right? So just keep that in mind. The reason why I was trying to find this video, and again, it was just in a random playlist, was because I wanted to show this. Women see things differently from men. And it's only in that circle, the circle of women that you meet at the club. Because that's not to say that you won't have some infiltrators from, you know, like narcissistic people that are trying to pretend like they're, you know, book enthusiasts all of a sudden, or, you know, that are into literature all of a sudden. Of course, you'll find those too. But the way you vet them is time. You cannot cheat time. There is, as a matter of fact, Sos the Ghost from Demons Row TV said it best. You know, every DEA agent that made it past the vetting process did it because they were able to play the role correctly. They didn't do anything to outshine the master, and all they did was just play their fucking role. You know? That's how they were able to infiltrate, you know, a lot of those biker gangs. But the thing is that time will always tell on you. People that are trying to outshine, outdo, outperform, those motherfuckers are always going to be the first ones to stand out. That's all it is, man. And some of these chicks are really good at hiding it. Like, well then again, like, if you're not looking for it, you know, if you're not looking for it, it's going to be hidden in plain sight. In any case, guard your heart.